and welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. I hope everybody's having a terrific day today. It just rained here for about 20 minutes, so now it's not only hot, it's steamy and hot. So it's definitely like living in Florida in August right now. And how are you doing today, Deb?
I'm doing great, Austin. I'm about 3 miles away from you, and I didn't have any rain at all, so that was interesting. I remember, you remember Austin, you were like 14, 15 years old, and we went over to Hawaii 1 week to try to do some diving, and I want to go on vacation with you because you were going through your 14-year-old phase. And I remember they gave me a rental car in Hawaii, and I remember it was filthy. And I said, guys, why are you giving me a dirty rental car? And they said, well, because it stays dirty. And you can't help it because it rains like every 10 minutes and it quits and rains and quits and rains and quits. And it's always dirty, so there's no reason washing it. I said, well, I'd appreciate it if you at least clean it for me when you hand it to me. So they did. They ran it to the car wash real quick, brought it back to me, and I left about 10 minutes later, raining, and it was dirty again. And it rained and rained the whole time we were there. And I thought, wow. And again, it's like Florida. It would rain and it would be sunny outside. So interesting weather down here right now. Another thing that I've noticed is a lack of insects. It's very weird to me because when we were kids here in Florida, I remember being chased by hordes of gnats. You know, we didn't have the barbarian gang-raping hordes chasing us. We had the gnats chasing us, and it would literally be 10,000 gnats chasing you around when you ran around outside, and there were literally flying arthropods everywhere. And you don't see them anymore. It's the strangest thing. Jeff Rentz thinks that it may be Fukushima that's doing this with the radiation. I think it may also be the spraying, the pesticides, also the chemtrails and all the other things that are poisoning everything. But it's very strange because, you know, as Albert Einstein said once, you know, once the bumblebees and the, you know, the honeybees and all the pollinating bees go away, that'll be the end of the human race as we know it. So it's interesting to me, Austin, to watch this complete and total destruction of the ecosystem. I'm going to talk about that in just a minute. But you had a really good story out of New Zealand, Austin. What is it?
Yeah, I mean, the thing about it is that's pretty crazy is, you know, we've talked since we've started this show and many years before on the toxic effects of fluoride and how there really is no useful purpose to put fluoride inside of your body. I mean, we've talked about the North American University research that showed that children experience significantly reduced IQ points when they're exposed to fluoride. Well, now, finally, a governing body has actually acknowledged this. Wish it was in the United States. However, it is in New Zealand. A high court in New Zealand has now ruled that adding fluoride to the water supply is essentially adding unwanted medication to the water supply. No doubt this is a positive step towards abolishing the practice of fluoridation. The majority of judges agreed that it's difficult to avoid fluoride in drinking water because it is added. Chief Justice Jan Ellis said fluoridation is unlawful. Thankfully, the majority of New Zealand Supreme Court ruled that putting fluoride in water amounts to applying a medical treatment without the consent of the general public. The court further stated that, and listen to this, this is interesting, they said this, they said, The court further stated that information reports say water fluoridation measurably reduces tooth decay without health risk is misinformation. So they're saying these reports that continue to talk about fluoride reducing health issues or tooth issues and causing tooth decay and so forth, it's misinformation, meaning it's fake news. So they straight called this out now for what it is because, I mean, there has been an overwhelming amount of scientific evidence that proves that water with added fluoride to it is ineffective at best at protecting your teeth, and to make it worse, it massively poisons the population. The proof of danger is even on every normal toothpaste label that has fluoride in it. In the United States, consumers are warned to seek medical help if they basically ingest this toothpaste that has fluoride in it. In addition to lowering IQ points, chronic exposure to fluoride can trigger thyroid disorders, which I've seen firsthand numerous times, including high blood pressure issues, gut problems, and hormonal imbalances, on top of basically making you dumb. Essentially what it does, it really, really decreases your IQ and your ability. They say a lot of times what it does is it calcifies your pineal gland. So that really extreme thinking that we go through when we really start using deductive reasoning, we go in, well, this doesn't make sense. There's no way the Twin Towers could collapse at free fall rate by themselves. It had to be some type of demolition done on the backside of it. That goes away. That type of logic and reasoning goes away when the pineal gland becomes calcified.
That's
I mean,
exactly
there's been
right.
over 300 studies, we've talked about so many of them, over 300 studies that say that fluoride is a neurotoxin. No question about it. No argument about it. It's a neurotoxin. So again, why are we continuing allowing this stuff to be put into our body? That is why here at Health Masters, one thing we are adamant about is having mouthwash for sale that we personally use with no fluoride, toothpaste for sale, the toothpaste that actually works with no fluoride that we all personally use, and water distillers that get this garbage out of the water supply, because in my opinion, this product is single-handedly one of the worst products to put in your body, but again, it is also one of the easiest products to avoid if you
right.
know where to get the right supplies from. So it's one of those things to where it's so easy to get exposed to it, but it's also very easy to get it out of your diet and to get it out of your system. Some things we can't do anything about. Chemtrails, that's a hard one. You know, radiation in the air from a nuclear disaster, that's another hard one. But fluoride in the water, fluoride in toothpaste, fluoride in mouthwash, fluoride when you go to your dentist, when they try to give you that stuff, just say no. These are things that you can do actively in your life, your children's, and your family's life, in my opinion, to make them much healthier by keeping this stuff out of your body. And apparently, the Supreme Court in New Zealand seems to think so too, Deb.
Well, fluoride was originally used in the concentration camps in Nazi Germany. And what they found is they had to keep the slave labor, the Jews and the Christians and the Catholics and the Gypsies, whoever they were using for slave labor, they had to keep them alive, number one, and they had to keep them from reproducing. And they had to keep them servile. They didn't want, like you said, deductive reasoning. So they found that if they gave them pills to swallow, like medication, they just simply spit them out, wouldn't take them, or whatever, flush them in the toilet. And after they found enough pills in the latrines, I guess, they said, well, this isn't working. You know, you have millions and millions of people in a slave labor camp, or, you know, multiple slave labor camps all over Europe and Poland and Germany. You end up in a situation where you got to keep them controlled, you got to keep them fed, you got to do all these different things to them. So they started using different chemicals, and they found they could put fluoride, hydrofluorosilicic acid, which is a byproduct of aluminum production and phosphate production, into the water supply, and it would make the inmates servile and infertile. When you have a slave, you don't need her pregnant, period. No comments from the peanut gallery. All my God friends are listening to this. But you know, when you have people in a concentration camp and they're working and they're being productive, you don't need them pregnant and out of touch with being able to work. You don't need that. So you got to give them something that's going to create infertility. In 1945, when we went into Dachau and we found these concentration camp ledgers in the detailed research that had been done as far as on human beings, and they found that human beings became infertile and servile when they were given fluoride, the following year in 1946, the government started mandating the use of fluoride in the drinking water in the United States. Guys, you can't even make this junk up. And then pretty soon we were having huge debates about fluoride, because if you take hydrofluorosilicic acid fluoride, you can use it in small concentrations as rat poison, because it kills the rats dead as a stone. Or if you form on concrete, speaking of stone, it'll eat a hole right through the concrete. It's that acidic. It lowers IQ. It's unbelievably poisonous, but it does. It makes people servile and infertile. So you lose your deductive reasoning skills, and plus it calcifies the pineal gland, which prevents the production of melatonin, which is a very, very very strong antioxidant. It helps you to sleep at night and helps prevent the aging process. So all that stuff's done at once when you do the fluoride, which at that point, remember the Jason scholars came out a few years after this, and they said the number one pressing issue that we had was the fact that we were having too many babies in the third world countries, and we had to reduce the population of the planet by hook or by crook, and their goal, of course, is going to be about 500 million people. We see that on the Georgia Guidestones, which means they want to kill about 7 billion people, and they're doing it very efficiently through all the different ways we talk about, with transsexualism and all the other weird stuff they promote, and the fluoride they put in salt in South America, and also in the milk products in South America, and also in the United States. So it's a very toxic compound that really needs to be avoided. It's in the halogen category on the element table, and it's the same category as iodine and bromine and chlorine. They're all halogens, and the thyroid absorbs them, thinking that they're iodine. And so you have a horrible problem with thyroid conditions because of the fluorine and the chlorine and the and not the iodine, but then the bromine that is used in the water supply. And then when you put alum with the fluoride, it makes it like 10 times more available biologically. So and alum is used, which is an aluminum product. That's used in clarification of the water supplies. So they put the alum in the water, put the fluoride in the water, and massively increases the physiological uptake of the fluoride and the poison into the system. Of course, they know this. It's kind of like allopathic medicine. They know that chemotherapy kills people. They know that statin drugs pretty much completely reduce the production of coenzyme Q10 for your heart muscle, and your heart muscle loses its turbidity, becomes flaccid, which means it gets very soft and can't maintain its shape and can't pump properly, and you go into cardiac arrest, heart failure. They know that. They know that selenium is very, very important to maintain a strong heart and a strong liver and, you know, not to get age spots. They know it does all that, but they want to make sure they don't put these things back into the food supply, and they let us gradually die of deficiency diseases, or they give us statin drugs without giving us supplemental coenzyme Q10, which to me should be illegal. The doctor should lose his license over that, and then the person starts having all these heart issues from the very drug that's supposed to be healthy for their heart. So to me, allopathic medicine, that's like from a medical doctor. In general, probably 80% of the guys out there, not all of them, some of them that really care, they really care about people, is being used and being promoted and basically pushed on us through the Rockefeller Medical Complex. I could do a whole show on this, to reduce the population of the planet. And of course, all of these groups are all owned directly or indirectly through the interlocking corporate directorships, through the Rothschild banking cartels, or their front guys, like J.P. Morgan was a front guy, Rockefeller was a front guy, Carnegie was a front guy. All these guys basically were being used. You know, Jim Gates is one of our, in our current times, Jeff Bezos, all these guys. How do they get this money? How does Amazon lose $1 billion a year and maintain their business for years and years and years until they become profitable? I mean, guys, no offense. If, let's say, for instance, I've got a startup company that I want to use, and I start losing money. There's no way the bank's going to give me money on a company that's losing money unless I have a lot of personal assets that I can apply to that, and they sign off, and I sign off with what's called a cross-collateralization loan, which means I got to give them everything that I own in the event I can't pay the debt. And they don't do that. They don't. You know, these guys get to lose $1 billion a year, like Amazon did at the beginning, and still continue to operate. Doesn't make any sense to me. None of it makes any sense to me because it's not possible. Because the real world, they don't loan money to organizations that are losing that much money unless it's a CIA government saboteur cabal's controlled organization, and they have unlimited amounts of money from the spigots they can pour into it until it eventually reaches a point where it's taking 50% of the retail sales online, and suddenly you realize, oh, we're making money now, and then Jeff Bezos becomes one of the richest people on the planet. And if you ever listen to the guy speak, I don't think he could talk his way out of a wet paper bag with a pair of, you know, scissors. I mean, it's ridiculous. And the guy is just not the guy who did this. He didn't put this together like this, and it was done around him and for him, and we're just told this, that it's him, because the Rothschilds, like we mentioned before, don't want everything in their name. And then you got to tie it all back together with the point of all of this stuff, and that's keep us dumbed down. Look at Anthony Bourdain's final interview involving Clinton's. Now that's starting to raise questions about his death. I mean, he really, really, really disliked Bill Clinton. Before he died, he said that Bill Clinton was entitled. He was rapey, gropey, grabby, and disgusting. Okay? That's what he said. And those are his words. And all of a sudden, he gives a statement out. All of a sudden, he's found dead hanging from a doorknob. Now, here's the irony of the hanging from the doorknob. You know, people are hanging by a scarf from the doorknob, and a lot of people say, well, that means they were hanging. They tied the scarf at the doorknob, lipped it over the top of the door, and then get tied. I've never seen a scarf that's 6 or 8 feet long. I don't know how that works. But I personally, what I believe, this is a sign where this is a pedophilia-related assassination, because these people, 11 people so far, who died from being hung by a doorknob, and I mean, it's just ridiculous, because they can have their blood cut off by having their carotid artery clamped for just a few moments, get unconscious, tied to the doorknob, and then basically tie a scarf around them, and make it a lot, it makes it so they can basically, that they finish the job by doing that. The thing is, the Queen of the Netherlands' sister, a few months ago, just hung herself from the doorknob. That particular queen stepped down after allegations of having hunts where children are raped and massacred by her dinner guests after dinner. Now, Robin Williams supposedly hanged himself with a tie from his doorknob. Fashion designer Alexander McQueen hung himself with a scarf on his closet doorknob. Aaron Schwartz hung himself on his doorknob after he hacked into the MIT computers and found a huge stash of child porn, by the way. Michael Hutchins from the band INXS found himself hung from his doorknob. Chester Bennington hanged himself with a belt from his doorknob. Chris Cordiel hung himself with an elastic workout band tied to a carabiner from his doorknob in a hotel bathroom. I mean, Bernie and Cornell were fighting to save kids from high-level pedophile sex rings. Kate Spade both hung themselves, and Ren Scott hung themselves with red scarves from doorknobs. I mean, who knew that doorknobs were so deadly, Austin? I mean, it's ridiculous. And see, what we do is if you start looking at the Franklin cover-up, child abuse, Satan, murder in Nevada, and all of these different ties together with the doorknobs, you start to realize that a lot of these groups are really Luciferians in disguise and working through these secret orders. Look what Pat Roberts said a few years ago. And the reason I bring this up today is we have a termite base stations around the house here in Florida. You have these subterranean little monsters that don't seem to die from anything, including chemtrails, and they basically like to eat your house. And if you don't have base stations around your house, if you have wooden walls on the inside, they'll come in and through the slab and chow down and eat the house, and the house falls down. So I've got these base stations around the house. Earlier today, I had a guy come over to check the base stations for me, and he had a Haitian accent. I said, "Where are you from?" And I said, "Haiti." He goes, "Yes, I am from Haiti." And I said to him, I said, do you know what really happened in Haiti with the French and how you escaped French rule? And he looked at me and goes, "Well, no, not really. I don't understand any of this stuff. I think I do. And I looked at him, I said, "Oh, that's funny." I said, "Have you ever heard about voodoo?" And he looked at me and goes, "Oh, I've never heard about voodoo." And I started laughing at him, Austin. And Richard was out there, one of our friends. I said, "You never heard about voodoo? You live in Haiti and you've never heard about voodoo, really?" He goes, "Well, okay, I've heard about voodoo." And I'm like, "Yeah, you got zombies running around in Haiti, but you better let you leave." I said, "You know what happened and why Haiti basically has been under curse for hundreds of years now?" "No, man, I don't know." And I said, "Okay, well, then whatever. We're not going to carry on with this conversation." Pat Robertson a few years ago. Now, don't get me wrong. A lot of stuff that Pat says I don't agree with, but I'm going to say this. Here's what he said. This is a quote from the 700 Club a few years ago. And you know, Christy, something happened a long time ago in Haiti, and people may not want to talk about it. They were under the heel of the French, you know, Napoleon III and whatever, and they got together and swore a pact to the devil. They said to Lucifer, "We will serve you if you get us free from the French." He says, "This is a true story." And so the devil said, "Okay, it's a deal." And they kicked the French out, and the Haitians revolted and got themselves free. And ever since, they've been cursed by one thing or another, and they've been desperately poor. Now, think about that for a second. The island of Hispaniola has been cut right down the middle, one side Haiti, one side the Dominican Republic. One side Dominican Republic, which is prosperous. The other side is Haiti. I mean, think through these deals with the devil these people make. Now, let me say something to you real quick. For you guys who haven't heard this before, I'm going to go into a little bit more detail with it, so use this as a reference show for your friends. We, the people, have given the rights of our government over to our politicians, who've given it over to the military and industrial complex, including the CIA. The CIA has then given that over to the Sabbatean Kabbalists, who rule the planet, who run the CIA, they own the media and everything else. But it's all being controlled by the international banking cartels of basically Satanists and top Masonic leaders in the 33-degree realm, who understand, as Albert Pike says, that they're trying to harness the seizing energies of Lucifer in his book Morals and Dogma. You say, what does that have to do with all of this stuff today? Here's what I'm talking about. There's an article here. It's called "Black Magicians and Satanists Rule the World, Not Politicians, Bankers, or Military Heads." I don't agree with everything in this article, so I'm going to pick parts of it out. It's by a guy, by the person of Freeman. It says, now here's the first quote he uses, and this is a very good quote. I like this. Not who it came from, but I like the quote. The quote is from J. Edgar Hoover, the gay head of the FBI, the cross-dresser, the drag queen, right? This is J. Edgar Hoover. He goes, "The individual is handicapped by coming face to face with a conspiracy so monstrous that he cannot believe it exists." Period. That's what J. Edgar Hoover said when he finally realized what was going on. Here's how the article continues. "Black magic is a force that rules the modern world, so it is satanic black magicians that constitute the true controllers of the world, at least in the human earthly realm. Now, we as Christians, we are not accountable to them." I'm going to add that into the article. They have no authority over us. That's why they hate us. The article goes on to say, "The satanic black magicians pull the strings, not politicians, corporate bosses, military heads, intelligence chiefs, or even the international bankers. All they also hold mold of the same roles." Now, I'm going to qualify this. The international bankers at the highest levels are pretty much all the sorcerers and the satanic black magic people. The New World Order elite fulfill a hidden role in an outer, more respectable public role, while many satanic black magicians are also businessmen, like Masonic leaders, and bankers, like the Rothschilds, and their true ruling power comes from Satanism and the twisted use of humanity's creative power through black magic, which they can then use in their secular roles in society. Kay Griggs went into detail with this, a former wife of a full-bird colonel in the Air Force, talking about their satanic black magic roles. Symbols rule the world. This is very important. Remember the saying of the Chinese sage Lao Tzu, who said that symbols rule the world, not the rules or laws. Symbols communicate through the right brain at a deeper level than words, because they are decoded by the right intuitive brain, whereas words are decoded by the left logical brain. Symbols are able to penetrate more deeply into our subconscious, which is why the elite are so obsessed with their stupid occult corporate and government logos of red crosses, inverted crosses, rising suns, all-seeing eyes, pyramids, the number 666, the rings of Saturn, and inverted pentagrams. This is very important you guys understand that, because it goes deeply into your subconscious. Words attempt to rule the world, but they can never be as powerful as symbols because of the penetration into the subconscious mind. Likewise, black magic rules the world through governments and corporations attempt to rule the world, but they can never be as powerful as the black magic with all of these satanic rituals. This is what these children are being used for, with the children that are being abducted. But before looking at the evidence of the elite and how they use black magic, it is worthwhile remembering defining the aspect of Satanism, the inversion of everything. Black is white, bad is good, wrong is right. This is why the inverted pentagram is such a popular satanic symbol. George Orwell touched on this in 1984 when he wrote the ruling class propaganda, "War is peace, freedom is slavery, ignorance is strength." Even mind control techniques developed by the CIA through the Nazis, through Operation Paperclip, through MKUltra. As these satanic documents reveal they've done this, they use these principles to confuse victims by telling them that pain is pleasure, pleasure is pain, and they eventually break the victims down so they can no longer distinguish between pain and or pleasure. Now, then we go back to secret societies. We have to deal with the Trilateral Commission, the Council on Foreign Religious Relations. We have to talk about the globalists. These are others. There are others, however, whose purpose is shrouded in warm mystery, but seem to involve black magic and satanic rituals, such as the worshiping of gods, entities, the acting out of sexual orgies and fetishes and sacrifice, whether mock or real. Then you have to step to the Bohemian Club, where you have the cremation of care, which involves hooded figures performing a mock, we believe, sacrifice, black magic sacrifice beneath a 40-foot owl, which is representing some entity such as Moloch or some other god. On the coast of America, Yale, we have Skull and Bones, which you hear outsiders have heard chilling howls and screams emanating from the windowless Skull and Bones crypt. If you think these secret societies are just perverted people messing around, ask yourself, this is a good question. Why would the elite, the presidents of the United States, the top leaders in the world, many of whom are obsessed with power, be involved with black magic? Why would they engage in such black magic rituals unless they're getting something in return, like more power? These guys control the printing presses of the world, and they have more money than they could ever use, but why do they want more? They don't want more, but they don't want more money. They want more power. Money is just a means to an end. It is no coincidence in 2004 elections when George Bush Jr. and John Kerry were running against each other. They were both Bonesmen, a secret society again with Yale, with a total of living 300 Bonesmen in the United States out of 300 million people, and both the people that we have for the Republican or for the presidential nomination are Bonesmen. I mean, this is nuts. This is a good question here. Did mainstream news anchor Tim Russert get bumped off for asking too many questions to Bush and Kerry about the Bonesmen and about, you know, Skull and Bones? I remember I watched him do this back after the election, before, during the election, and I thought, man, Tim, you are stepping into a really tight place there. You better be careful. And sure enough, he was dead a little bit later. Bush and Kerry avoid talking about Skull and Bones on Meet the Press. They didn't talk about it. Now you got to go to Kubrick with Eyes Wide Shut and Secret Elites of Ritual, Sex, and Sacrifice, a lot of which has been done from Crowley and the books that he's written, as far as how he basically would use satanic, you have the power from satanic entities come into him while he was sexually abusing children. And this is some sick stuff I don't like talking about very often. The ordinary person will never be initiated into a satanic secret society or get close enough to witness what goes on there. When Kubrick handed over the tape for his last film, Eyes Wide Shut, he was found 4 days later of a heart attack, despite the fact that close to him said that he was in fine health and had no history of heart trouble whatsoever. Now, what they're not saying in this article is There were 15 more minutes in that film that he wanted released, and Kubrick was an insider, and he wanted to explain to everybody exactly what these people were doing, and they didn't want him to. And so they wanted the 15 minutes cut out. He refused because he had too much information about the Apollo moon landing from 1969 that I've read in multiple different places. Now, what's interesting about this is when he did not let them take out the 15 minutes, he was dead. And then suddenly the film comes out and it has the 15 minutes removed against his wishes because he was gone. In Eyes Wide Shut, Kubrick depicts a black magic scene in which naked women circle a leader. I don't really recommend you guys watch this movie, guys. It's really sick. Then they drop their clothes to become naked and are later involved in a massive orgy where all the participants wear masks to hide their true identities. Kubrick hints in the film that the satanic sexual black magic ritual also involves sacrifice and murder. Now, what's interesting about this particular film is that it was going to get an X rating, and they had to basically fuzzy up the doggone picture so they wouldn't get an X rating unless they got an R rating, because it's that weird. At the heart of the black magic is demonic possession. Now, stay with me just for a few more seconds. I'm almost done. Black magic at its core is really about demonic possession. Since the world is made of energy, not matter, and since energy moves in waves, which have frequencies, the satanic rituals are designed to entrain the energetic biofrequencies of the participants with that of other dark entities that are, so there is a vibrational or resonance match. Once there is a frequency resonance or lock, an exchange can be taken in place. Energy is transferred into the next dimension through the veil that CERN is trying to pass to feed these entities, as Satan runs about as a roaring lion seeking those who may devour, which is indicative of all the services they've done with the Mayans and the Romans and all the blood sacrifices that were being used. It works both ways. The person gets possessed and receives information from certain dark entities, while the dark entities also take something from the person. This is when you see these Hollywood stars wearing this red Kabbalah bracelet, a ring of circle or string around their wrists. It tells you they're involved in these types of ceremonies, which Angelina Jolie has admitted to being in some of these weird ceremonies or rituals. Okay, this theme of possession crops up over and over again when exposing the underworld, the whole of the worldwide conspiracy. This is what Hillary Clinton, in my opinion, has been involved in, along with other world leaders, the top elites. That's why they protect one another. That's why Hillary Clinton will never be taken to trial and she will never be charged, because she knows where the bodies are buried with too many people and what they've been involved with. And then you have to look at also what happens with these institutions that deliberately and systematically kidnap children, and many of which are also sacrificed in satanic rituals. I mean, it's so important that we all understand this. You've got to look at the conspiracies going on. We have to talk about all the news all the time, but remember this. The Rothschilds control the energy grid in the United States, including all of the power that's being sent out to you and me every day when we have to pay our utility bills. It's also important to understand the political corruption, which, again, we've talked about what just happens. Mainstream media consolidation, Rothschilds, constant media deception, Rothschilds, smart meters disrupting our energy with electromagnetic fields, Rothschilds, GMOs, Rothschilds, vaccines, toxic vaccines, the Rothschilds, because they control the medical establishment, geoengineering, corporate bastardization of science, which they lie, straight lie like they do with fluoride, the militarization of the police, the fake war on drugs with us bringing in $1.5 trillion through the CIA of heroin to the United States every year, saying we're having a war on drugs. Fake and U.S.-sponsored terrorism, perpetual and profitable wars, false flag operations, United Nations Agenda 21, transhumanism, human microchipping, all of this stuff is being used against you through the satanic groups that rule the planet. Again, it's not the politicians, it's not the bankers, it's not the military heads that they can be involved in it. It's this group of Kabbalists, Luciferians, synagogue of Satan, who trace their roots all the way back to the Druids, all the way back to Genesis chapter 6, before that, then to Egypt, when they threw the snake. Remember I told you the story before? Moses throws staff down, turns into a snake. Magicians throw their staff down, it turns into a snake also. Think through that for a second. You know, that tells you how real this stuff is, because they use energy and sound waves to distort and control and to change matter. When I was in Machu Picchu up in the Andes in South America, and I went into the temple at the top where they have the big stone where they had sacrificed all of these humans on the stone. They had prayer chambers all around this sacrificial ritual site. And you could stick your head in this prayer chamber. It was like an echo chamber, and you could make a sound like hum, and you would hear it coming through the prayer chamber like 100 times louder than that. All of that stuff is being done to change energetic fields of matter and reality and how it changes it. You got to look at how matter can be changed through sound waves. All of this stuff is tied together with what I just talked about, and I want to cover that with you today because I talked about a little bit of this yesterday, and I had a lot of questions come into my personal email about this, so I thought, well, shoot, I'm going to go ahead and go into a little bit more detail about it today. What do you think, Austin, and what's your next story?
It's wild stuff. Those guys over there, I mean, when you do some of the research and look back at the Mayans and everything they did, I mean, they were all about sacrificing people. I mean, it was nonstop. You can watch that one movie, Apocalypto, that Mel Gibson did years ago. And, I mean, it shows you exactly what they did, you know? And, I mean, they just dragging people up to the top, lopping heads off, throwing their bodies and their heads down the huge stairs they have on this pyramid. And just, I mean, there's just blood everywhere. I mean, that's what they did. And, I mean, it's pretty weird stuff. And I mean, that's to think they did that back then, and that there's entities and people around here, especially in the world, that don't still do that garbage, you're basically in denial. You're naive. So it's just, it is what it is. We have to be aware of it and make sure we do everything we can, especially to protect our family and our children from getting sucked into that very, very sick culture that tries to abduct children and everything, because it's not a joke. It's very real. That's why I told you guys so many times before, be so careful when you have your kids out in areas, especially in more open, more crowded areas that have more chances of people basically coming around and like going to parks or going to malls or going to theme parks, especially when they're really young. It's interesting because I actually had a customer send me a handwritten letter the other day, and I hadn't read this on the area because it's pretty weird. I'm only going to read part of it here, but they basically wrote on here, they said that about 25 to 30 years ago, they worked in Iowa, basically, and spent a great deal of time helping and working with survivors of SRA in Indiana, which is sexual ritual abuse, basically. And they said that they're the adults working with young adults who had been raised and demonized and brainwashed and trained in their childhood in this type of weird stuff that we were talking about here. And so they had gotten out of it. And so these people were working with younger people to try to help them get through the post-traumatic stress and everything else that they were trying to cope with. And they said deliverance, she said deliverance through Jesus Christ was basically the only freedom that they found, which was, you know, obviously the only freedom you can really find, the true peace that passes all understanding. She said, though, she went on to say here, this is what I wanted to really address. She goes, and I'm reading exactly what she said. She goes, when warning people about watching their children, Austin, they also need to be warned about other children who happen to be highly trained and brainwashed as well to perform exactly as they are told. She said, don't let basically them blend into different places anywhere. She said, parks as all other normal children run around and complete assigned evil task. The letter's not very well written here, so that's why I'm trying to read it as I'm saying here. But what she says is basically they blend in with other children. They train these kids, they abduct these kids, and they get them involved to go help abduct other kids. And a lot of times they put them on the premise of, well, if you help us get these kids, if you help us get five kids, we'll let you go back to your parents, or we'll let you go do your thing. So you just have to help us out a couple more times. Completely lying and brainwashing them, almost using it as a Ponzi scheme. Of course, they never let these kids go until they get a lot older, and they usually escape on their own. But she went on to say here, she goes, examples of tasks of trained children that we have seen. One was an 8-year-old girl in a mall takes the hand of a younger boy child and quickly disappears into the crowd and then a back door outside the back of the mall and basically disappeared in a van. They saw it on the the cameras, the security cameras later on, she basically walked this kid into the van. The van took off, had no license plate on him. They never found the kid again. Another one, they said a teen enters a park restroom followed by another 10-year-old girl with a syringe. Minutes later, the teen is helped to a waiting car with two other teens or adults with the drug teen that basically just got shot with a syringe out of the bathroom. Said there was another after-school party invitation that happened for teens and middle schoolers, as one teen was quickly drunk and drugged and taken out back into the wooded area and hung and then filmed. They said it was called and deemed a suicide, but parents couldn't prove that it wasn't. Basically, later on, they found out the video footage emerged that this is basically another satanic ritual sacrifice that they got these kids involved in. I don't like talking about this stuff at all because it's unbelievably sick. However, I felt like this needs to get addressed because a lot of times you have the picture of your child being in the park and some creepy dude jumping out of a van, running up to your kid, trying to grab him and run off, and you essentially run over, tackle him, pull out a pistol, do whatever you do to means, and you're like, okay, I fixed it, I saved my kid. A lot of times that's not how it happens anymore. That's why they're so effective at abducting these kids. They use other kids to go in and befriend these kids and get them basically to become softer and easier targets and easier to abduct them. So that's what I wanted to address here, just giving you guys kind of a head of a warning. Other kids, and you don't want to be this paranoid parent where it's like as soon as a kid walks up to your kid in the park, you're like, what are you doing? You need at least 10 feet away from my child. Do not come any closer. Obviously, you don't want to do that because you start looking like the absolute nutbag parent at the park that everybody's like, you need to stay away from that parent. They're a lunatic. You need to call actually the police because they're probably on drugs. You don't want to be involved in that either, but you want to be very, very aware of what's going on and don't allow your kids to leave your sight. And if they're around kids that start pulling them to other areas or other directions and you don't know these kids, be very, very wary of that, especially if there's easy exits or easy areas for vehicles to park. I know some parks like that we have in Auburndale, you got to kind of go far to get to another vehicle, and you're pretty open at that point when you try to go to that area, so it's hard to sneak off. But other places, you know, you got bathrooms and parking lots that wrap around it, and stuff can just blend in with one another. So that was my side note that I wanted to add on there, Dad, and really kind of address what you were talking about. And other news as well that I always refer to as people needing to be able to defend themselves, and why I like firearms is because they are the great equalizer. Perfect example of what happened last week in Pierce County, Washington. A 24-year-old woman riding her motorcycle, looks like she had an R6 in this photo, street bike. I used to ride street bikes. I love street bikes. I have kids, so I don't own any street bikes anymore. But she was riding her motorcycle in Pierce County, Washington, and came under a road rage attack from a deranged 60-year-old man, and she ended up ultimately shooting and killing this guy to stop from beating her. The story goes, basically, she will not be facing prosecution for death. She explained how she looked in her mirror after she had cut off this individual, Jones, driving right up on her tail of her motorcycle. When she stopped at a red light, she said Jones drove up beside her and tried to hit her. She said, the one time I left too little space for a car in front of me, she then proceeded to go on the shoulder and tried to ram me with his car on the passenger side. The next time she slowed down, Jones tried to ram her again. At the next stoplight, Boland says Jones got out of his car and came towards her. She responded by putting down her kickstand because she was boxed in again at a traffic light and got off her bike to defend herself. She said first he knocked her into the guardrail and then grabbed her again and tried to grab her helmet, basically to try to pull her helmet off of her. Boland eventually ended up on the ground in the fetal position trying to protect herself as Jones repeatedly kicked her. She was then slipping in and out of consciousness when she remembered she had a firearm in her jacket. At that point to herself, she said it was either me or him and I was going to come home. She reached for her jacket, grabbed the gun, and shot Jones multiple times. The gunshot proved fatal. She goes, I was fighting for my life, and that's the whole point of having a concealed weapon permit and having a firearm, to defend your life, because I thought he was going to take mine. So now you have this 24-year-old girl who's like probably 120 pounds in this photo, riding a motorcycle, which is one of the most vulnerable vehicles you can drive on the road, and this 60-year-old deranged guy who's probably on medication, and basically tries to run her off the road, wreck her, then when she can't go anywhere else, he stops. Get out of his vehicle. You got to remember, in the state of Florida at least, you are not supposed to leave your vehicle to get in a confrontation, because they say at any point in time, if you have the ability to leave the scene in a vehicle, basically leave a threat, you need to do so. Meaning, if somebody's standing on the sidewalk and they're basically calling you out and they're saying, hey, I'm going to beat your butt, I want to get in a fight with you, and you stop your car in the middle of the road and get out of the car to get in a fight with them, you're pretty much at fault, unless you are boxed in or you do not have the ability to leave the scene safely. Now, that's a whole different story. But at this point in time, she's stuck. She can't go anywhere on her motorcycle. He boxes her in, gets out, shoves her against the guardrail, and basically starts to beat the crap out of her. And she defends herself with lethal force. That is why I'm so adamant about the ability of the Second Amendment and making sure people know how to defend themselves properly as the situation arises. She probably didn't expect to get this type of confrontation. I can promise you, she did not expect she was going to have to kill somebody at the end of the day driving back home from work on her motorcycle. And the sad part is, who knows what would have happened if she would not have had her gun? Would he have beat her unconscious? Would he have broken multiple ribs? Would he have cracked ribs and punctured her lungs? I don't know. We'll never know. But all we know now is that this guy, who is a massive aggressor, was trying to do her great bodily harm. She did not have the ability to defend herself physically without a weapon. And with that firearm, it gave her the ability to make that equalizer status happen then.
Great story, kind of good ending, terrible what they did to the girl. But I used to drive bikes all the time. I mean, I started riding bikes when I was 19 years old, and I they're all gone now. I don't need you to send me letters, okay? They're all gone. My favorite, I love Harleys. I have multiple Harleys. I had a BMW 1600 GTL, which was my favorite bike of all time. It's a street bike. And I've ridden a lot of motorcycles. I mean, I've put tens of thousands of miles on motorcycles. And I love bikes, but I don't ride them enough to own one to justify owning it. I remember years ago, I was, you know, driving my bike, and I was in an intersection. A lot of times, it was a deserted road in the middle of nowhere, but there were cars behind me, and the light wouldn't change. Because a lot of times, if you don't land on the magnetic strip on a motorcycle, the light won't turn. Austin will contest to that. You'll just sit there until you die of starvation and dehydration. It won't change unless another car comes up behind you and gets on the magnetic strip. So I had happened to see that I was off the strip, and there's nobody coming any direction. I'm not advocating this, but I went ahead because I had people pulling up behind me that I didn't know who they were. I just went through the light because it was like 11 o'clock at night, and it didn't make any difference. There was nobody on the road. Very dangerous thing to do. Be very careful. Don't do that. Just I'm giving you an example. But then I began to realize how vulnerable you are, especially if you go through like a ghetto area on a motorcycle. And then I also had a Corvette convertible back in the 80s. I got a really good deal on it because a friend of mine had a dealership. And I remember I was driving around and had a manual top on it. And I was driving around. I love Corvettes. And I had the top down, and I got into another ghetto area, and I thought to myself, shoot, you know, there's not a lot of protection behind glass, but I got no protection. Somebody could walk up behind me if I didn't even see them. They could slice my throat and take the car. And I thought, this is just crazy. So from that point on, whenever I was in a downtown area, I would close the doggone lid on that thing and think, well, at least I got something that's a little stronger than not being anything at all. So be careful when you're out there, especially if you're on motorcycles with this story, and if you're driving around in a convertible, which I know a lot of folks have those, and they're great cars. It's just down here in Florida, they're so hot, you can't use them for about 7 months out of the year because of the heat, or you can use them at night, which is nice. But just be very careful. Be always, Austin calls it situational awareness. Make sure you maintain that. Now, yesterday I talked about something that I wanted to go into a little bit more detail with today, because I got letters on this too from other people that have been involved in the Church of Christ in Gainesville, who is underneath Chuck Lucas. I mentioned this yesterday, and this is an article. It says, History Repeats Itself, The Rise and Fall of Kit McKean and Chuck Lucas from the Crossroads Movement. The article is written by Ryan Britt, B-R-I-T-T. If you're interested in this, you can call it up. And now the reason I'm giving you this information, here's what happens as far as what they say. This is an article from the St. Petersburg Times. It actually made a newspaper back in 79. And here's some of the things that I told you about. Now, the reason I'm saying this to you, I'm not saying that this group was involved in cult or satanic worship, but what I will say to you, that both of these guys involved in it ended up being pedophiles with the young members in their church, just like the Catholic priests are. Now, the reason I'm pointing that out to you is this. A lot of these guys are groomed through religious organizations, social organizations, and we saw that what happened at Penn State with the guy that was raping those kids in the locker room. And they knew about it. Paterno knew about it, refused to do anything about it because the guy was a good coach. This is a major problem in churches, and I'm not just talking Catholicism. I mentioned that yesterday. All churches. Look at the Bishop Betty Long. He's dead now. He was accused by multiple parishioners in Atlanta, where his church was, of sodomizing young boys in the church around the age of 16, taking them on trips and sodomizing them. Those were the accusations, and he settled the accusations out of court for millions of dollars. Now, he died a few years after all of this happened. Now, you know, I'm not saying the man was guilty. I'm not saying he's not guilty, but it sure seems strange to me that he agreed to pay millions of dollars in settlement to make these allegations from all these different people go away. Now, here's the point I'm trying to make with all of this. These cults have strange power over these children and how they control them. Here's what the St. Petersburg Times said about the Crossroads Church of Christ. The Crossroads ministry has become so elitist that it has come to view itself as the only road to Christian salvation. Remember, I told you that yesterday. Some students who have dropped out of its program have been subjected to harassment and or shunning by former friends in the church, sometimes leading to physiological problems. I was shunned when I left that organization. It caused me no physiological problems, so I was glad to be rid of the weirdos. Converts are assigned prayer partners, usually as older students or more experienced church members, to who they are exhorted to confess their sins, and that such confessions become common knowledge in the church and are used to maintain control of the members. That's a fact. That's what they did. The movement's doctrine instills excessive fear, guilt, and anxiety in some converts. The movement's ministers have been rebaptizing converts or withholding baptism on the basis of man-made judgments about their acceptability. Now, it goes on in detail. I'm not going to read any more about that. Let me tell you what happened and how these cults work. I knew a woman one time who basically, this family lived up in the Northeast, up in Boston. And this woman had been involved with this church in Gainesville. Okay? And it was interesting to me because she and her husband were both medical doctors and they had moved to Boston. And they had both gone to medical school at the University of Florida, and they were both involved in the Crossroads cult ministry. And he basically had a really bad relationship with his wife from a physical standpoint. In other words, she didn't want to have any sex. Guys, I'm just telling you the story. Guys, this is one of those stories. You probably have to be careful with your kids listening to this today. And she ended up basically finding a Playboy magazine in his briefcase. They've been married for about 5 years. She went back to the church eldership in Gainesville, called them all up, and told everybody that this guy, her husband, had a Playboy magazine in his briefcase. They called up everybody they knew in Tallahassee, where this one girl had also gone to college. Then they called all their people in the church up in Boston until the entire church knew this guy had a Playboy magazine in his briefcase. Now, at that point in time, I've been pretty ticked off if I'd been that guy, all right? I'd have been really mad. How do you deal with that? Now, everybody, this is because this is what they did. They embarrassed you and publicly humiliated you. Well, then about a year later, she found another Playboy magazine in the briefcase, and she went and told the whole thing all over again. I kid you not. This is how cults operate. They basically get you into a situation where you're shunned or embarrassed or humiliated, and they'll do the same thing to you, like a lot of these pastors who sodomize these young children. They'll tell you that this is how you prove your loyalty to them. And they start twisting the scripture to make it sound like they're not really gay, they're not really sodomites, they're not really a weirdo, this is how you have to do things. And guys, you've got to protect your children. I'm saying this because of what Austin just said about what happens with children in the park. You've got to make sure your children are not hanging out with kids that you don't know who they are. I've seen horror stories. And children, listen to me for a second. Please listen to me for a second. Kids, I'm talking to you now. And your parents will amen this. If you go to a party with a friend, and that friend says to you, I've got something I want you to try. It'll make you feel good. Just mix it in your drink. The answer is no, take me home. I don't care if you're a guy or a girl. If they're a guy or a girl, the answer is no, take me home. I don't do that. If they offer you marijuana to smoke, you say, well, marijuana's not that bad. Well, we all have differing opinions on that. How do you know it's marijuana? How do you know it hasn't been laced with some other product, some type of opiate? You don't know that. So if you ever get around a group of kids that want to do drugs, or let's go out and get drunk and we can drive around, well, why would you drive and be drunk? The response should always be, no, I don't want to do that. I have a future ahead of me. I'm not going to allow you to ruin my future. Please take me home. Or, no, I'm not into that. Please take me home. It always ends with, please take me home or I'm leaving now. And if you do that and you avoid those situations, soon the kids that are involved in that will no longer invite you to those parties because they know that you're not cool or that you don't want to be with them or that you're not going to do the drugs with them, which basically reaffirms what they're doing. And so they try to avoid you. But guys, I can't emphasize this to you enough. If you get around people who try to give you drugs, I told you that one time I was in the car. I told the boys, I said, you're taking me back to my car right now. I'm not dealing with this. You know, we're going to have a problem here in about 10 seconds. I'm not going to give you the whole story again because you've heard the story many times from me. I didn't put up with it. And you've got to learn to avoid that. You don't want to hang out with people that are riffraff, that will lead you astray, especially if you're young. Because, guys, you know, a lot of people say that manhood starts when you're 12, 13, 14 years of age, when you start making decisions for yourself. That's right. If you're going to have sex with a girl, which you shouldn't do if you're outside of marriage, guys, if you're 13, 14, 15, 16, 17 years old, I'm going to say this to you very directly. Use protection. Women, girls, don't let them do that to you, number one. Number two, if they're going to do that to you, if you're not going to stop them, make them use protection. Don't allow yourself to get pregnant or get an STD. It's just very important. That's why the Bible says that you need to be married when you do all of this stuff, because you don't need to get that reputation and you don't need to have a chance of coming down with some type of disease, which, like, I think 30% of the people under the age of 30 now have herpes, Austin. There's maybe even be higher than that. I mean, this is some serious stuff that's going on with the STDs right now. And all of this stuff is being promoted in these music videos by Madonna, that sick, perverted 60-year-old, by Britney Spears, that really twisted what's wrong with her head this week and what has she shaved this time, and also Miley Cyrus and the other sickos. This is what they're promoting, is that super, just that debaucherous lifestyle that promotes all of these weird things, including the drugs. Katy Perry topped the whole list when she did a movie the other day of them eating her in a service ceremony. I mean, them then cooking her. I mean, that's unbelievable to me that these guys are this twisted, but it goes back to that occultism and it introduces the children into this. So if they're at a party and they're seeing this kind of weird stuff, they're going to be okay with it or go along with it. Told you, my buddy, international radio broadcaster, won't mention his name, was brought to one of these Babylonian parties. Like Stanley Kubrick's Eyes Wide Shut, and he just said, he walked out. He says, I'm not going to be involved in any of this stuff. This stuff is weird. It's way out there. Why? Because that's how these elite manage to control the energy field around the planet, because they put all of these places and these sacrificial centers on top of these intersecting ley lines, and they're able to generate huge amounts of energy through all of this. So guys, just stay with your children. Take care of them. You cannot be cautious enough. You cannot be strict enough. You cannot be careful enough with your children in today's world, Austin. What do you think?
Oh, you're exactly right. I mean, because it takes a concerted effort now. There's no question about it. They're doing everything they can to push their agenda as hard as they can. I saw this yesterday, which is crazy because it's nonstop now with this censorship that we're doing here. Senator Ron Wyden now is demanding consequences for platforms that don't remove people like Alex Jones. That's what he said. Democrat Senator Ron Wyden is trying to take online censorship to a whole new level by drafting a bill now this week that will enforce consequences for any platforms that refuse to remove people like Alex Jones. The U.S. Senator from Oregon says the platforms should be punished for hosting content that deems to go against common decency. Again, this is another one of these Democratic liberal idiot terms that they put together, like we need common sense gun laws, we need common decency on platforms. They do this intentionally. I've said this so many times. They do this intentionally to try to immediately invalidate your argument before you even start it. You say, what's your argument to non-common sense gun laws? No, I don't want common sense gun laws. I want non-common sense gun laws. Well, again, you sound like an idiot. Now you hear, I don't want common decency on social media. I don't want any decency on social media. These are the terms they use from a psychological standpoint, from a psychop, to brainwash people. He goes on here to say in this interview, and I'm quoting him, he goes, what I'm going to be trying to do in my legislation is really lay out what the consequences are when somebody who really doesn't meet the decency principles in their postings and that reflect our values. Of course, Wyden's definition of what is indecent is wide open to any interpretation and will obviously be skewed by full left-wing political bias. But again, it shows you that they could say anything they want on any platform they want at any time they want, and it's considered decent, okay, free speech, just an argument from the left. But again, if we say anything, it's racist, it's xenophobic, it's homophobic, it's indecent, anything that we say. Again, this is because, and all comes down to it, is to silence the alternative media and at the same time brainwash the younger children into self-censorship. You are not allowed to speak your mind. Anything you say that we don't approve is indecent. Do not speak unless we allow you to speak. These are all indoctrination tools that they're doing to the younger generation, and at the same time, as Dad just said, they're pumping them full of the most polluted material you could ever concoct in the craziest minds, like we've seen in these newer music videos that have come out over the last couple years, including in the lyrics, including in the movies, including in the video games. All this stuff is being done simultaneously to pollute this younger generation so they will be easily controlled and manipulated with little to no moral values or ethics, Dad, if that is the overall goal of the globalists. Hence, going back to what you just said, it's more important than ever right now to monitor and make sure you know what your kids are being involved in.
Dawson's exactly right. I've had so many friends who have so many children who are really, really good kids, and they start hanging out with the wrong children. It's what the Word of God says, that bad company corrupts good character, and the kids get turned sideways and just become absolutely horrific just for the period of a few months. Guys, I love you. I had the opportunity to pray and to pray for you guys again today. It means so much to me every day when I do that. You guys are awesome. Thanks for getting your multiple vitamins from us. Thanks for listening every day. I hope you enjoy these little fireside chats when we get off on this kind of stuff, because I don't like talking about it very often because it's so weird. But you guys need to be aware of what's going on and how they channel this energy and how they control the people and the masses. I love you guys. Again, thanks for your support. Thanks for your prayers. Austin, go ahead and close it up.
Absolutely, guys. And we really do appreciate all the support and everything you continue to give us. I mean, we really do. I mean, the emails, the order comments, the phone calls, the support, the letters that we get in. Thank you guys for having our back. Thank you for promoting our show. Thank you for just getting this alternative news media topics out in the public and getting this stuff into people's minds, because we have to start waking up the population. I'm not as concerned if people agree with me or not. That's not my main concern. My main concern is sparking an idea in people's minds that they don't have to listen and agree to everything the media tells them as far as the mainstream outlets. I want people to make their own choice. I want people to make their own reasoning. I want people to come up with their own conclusion. And that's what we're here for, because I want to give you guys the real truth of what's really going on, the real hardcore facts, so you can actually make an informed decision and not just be brainwashed and polluted by this leftist agenda through the mainstream media that is blatantly censoring everybody right now. And guys, that right there in and of itself should be a clear-cut reason why we have to keep fighting, because the only reason one side tries to censor the other side is because they know the other side is correct. We don't care if CNN puts out fake news. We really don't care. I don't care if CNN constantly says negative things about Trump. I don't like it, but I don't really care at the same time. Why? Because I know a lot of it's fake news, and I really don't care. But if we're going out there and we're speaking the truth, they don't want us to do that. They don't want people to see the light, and that's what we're trying to do. So appreciate you guys forwarding articles, forwarding shows, forwarding radio, because we have to keep this going right now. The alternative news media is getting pushed way too heavy right now. We need everybody's support. So I appreciate you guys. I love you. Go if you need anything at healthmasters.com. The product of the week right now, which ended up winning yesterday and took the place, is the Ultimate Immune Booster, which is an incredibly good broccoli seed extract formula, really good for the immune system, on sale for over 10% off right now. Be sure to check it out at the website at healthmasters.com. You guys have a blessed, safe, awesome night. We'll talk to you again tomorrow, as always.